This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This is Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the sports betting network. We've got a trio of tremendous hours coming up for you. We've got three great guests. We'll go through those very quick because we've got ourselves an intense game going on out there in Newark, New Jersey, as it's 72-58 with Duke in the lead over Alabama. 4 minutes remaining there. We're going to have some great guests coming up here, though, in 30 minutes. Going to go a little baseball. Once this game finishes up, we've got Sean Zarulla, does great work over at Action Network. Get his thoughts on the first few days of the baseball season. Take a look at what we're getting for Sunday. Mike Calabrese is going to be joining me in hour number two. We're going to react to what we saw in the Elite Eight today. Turn it forward to Sunday with him. And then Nick Giffen, he's going to be joining me in hour number three. Going to talk some college basketball, and we'll see if he's got anything on the racing front as well, as he does a great job with regards to motorsports as well. So we've got a lot of fun here. Right now we are having some fun looking at Duke versus Alabama. 3:45 remaining in this game. Appears as though Duke is going to be heading to the free throw line, and for Duke, it's been another efficient night as they're currently shooting 52.8% from the floor, and if they're able to stay above 50% in this game, they will have shot 50-plus percent in all four rounds of the NCAA tournament. Thus far, they're showing the graphic up on the screen. That's how I know that. So, I mean, I'm able to read that one, but you know what? It's a very interesting sort of circumstances here with regards to the NCAA tournament, as it has been chalk upon chalk upon chalk, and I'm not surprised that it's been chalky. Like, if you guys saw the preview show of the NCAA tournament that we did here at the network 2 weeks ago, I called for all four one seeds to make the final four, and right now that's not looking too shabby. Now, the way that we have gotten there with regards to so many chalky teams being able to cover, albeit we did have Texas Tech be able to get a nice cover, and they very nearly wrecked the apple cart here today. There has been a little bit of intrigue with that regard, and it's not as if all the one seeds have covered every single game. Like, even Duke in that game against Arizona, they were unable to cover that one. We've seen Houston not cover their last two games as well. So there have been some tighter games, but just all these teams have been able to come through, get the job done, and right now Duke has been looking like the most dominant team in this tournament by far. I recognize that Arizona was able to cover that game a few days ago, but Duke was up double figures in that one. They did take their foot off the gas just a little bit, and right now, it looks like they're going to show no mercy to Alabama, because that's another Cooper Flagg bucket. That is now 76-58, 3 minutes and change remaining. If you've got Alabama +7, +7.5, well, you're going to need Mark Sears and company to really get after it here, as this has been a very slow second half for Alabama, and they cannot hit anything near the bucket. I know that Scott Seidenberg, who was on beforehand, he was doing a great job of breaking that down. The fact that, man, Alabama, they're getting shots close to the rim. None of them are falling, and it's too late for them at this point. Like, at this point, you're down 16 points with 3 minutes remaining. The lone sweat that you've got is if you've got Alabama +7.5. You're hoping for a miracle for them to be able to get the cover, because Duke is going to be adding to the Final Four. We'll see who they're going to be matched up with tomorrow. They're going to be getting the winner of that Houston versus Tennessee game, and that's going to be a fun one, to say the least, because I do think that Houston would stand a relatively good shot of being able to knock off Duke. As a matter of fact, prior to the NCAA tournament, I did have Houston knocking off Duke in the NCAA tournament, because keep in mind, that would be a game that would be played out there in the great state of Texas. And as we know, with regards to the Texas faithful, they are going to come out for Houston. Houston's a team that does a great job of being able to slow it down, and that's really a big thing that I did take a look at. Now, I thought that Alabama was going to be able to cover this game. I thought that the game was going to be going under. So right now, I'm looking like a splitterooski in this game, but for Alabama, just the fact that they have not been able to hit anything close to the rim has been the shock to me, because I thought that Duke was going to be able to slow them down. Like, we always talk about this Duke team in terms of their offensive efficiency, and very rightfully so. They are number one in all of college basketball in terms of points scored on a per-possession basis. What people don't realize about Duke, ever since Coach K stepped down at Duke, Duke has actually been a slow-tempo team. Like, going into the Sweet 16, going into that game against Arizona, in terms of just total raw possessions per game, so this isn't factoring in, like, efficiency numbers, adjusted weight plus, or anything like that. This is just raw possessions per game. Duke ranked 280th in all of college basketball out of 364 teams. That I would consider to be pretty stinking slow. Like, I mean, it's not Houston-style slow, it's not Virginia-style slow, or anything like that, but it's not like this Duke team just completely guns it or anything like that. They're just really good at executing their stuff, and right now, Alabama is finding that out the hard way, and it's also a Duke team that, They're a top five team in terms of fewest points allowed on a per possession basis as well. They really get after you. So, I mean, the way that John Shire has been able to coach up this Duke team, I recognize that there are those that love Duke. There are those that hate Duke. I personally am a better, so if I bet on them, I hope that they make me money. If I fade them, I hope that they lose outright and I'm able to make the money fading them, but that's the way that I operate. But I mean, you have to give credit to what John Shire has been able to do with Duke, because right now it's a culmination. 2:40 remaining. Alabama goes 1 of 2 at the free throw line, so it is now 78-59. And we did see Cooper Flagg get stuffed a few times in this game by Grant Nelson, so he is indeed human. But my goodness, this has been just an absolutely wild ride for Duke, to say the least, as far this season. And this is going to be another win for them. This is a spot where the last time they lost was in the middle of February. You may recall that game against Clemson a little bit earlier in the season. And that's one thing that could haunt Duke in the Final Four. The one thing that I take a look at with Duke that could be a little bit of weakness, they just flat out haven't been in too many close games this year. Like, even the game that I was alluding to against Arizona, they were up big in that game. They did let off the gas a little bit, but I mean, never in that game against Arizona, maybe it's just me and the way that I look at it, was I thinking, oh no, Duke is going to lose this game. I thought that there was a chance that Arizona was going to be able to get the cover, and indeed, Arizona was able to get the cover, but at no point during that game, with the way that Duke started out, did you think that they were going to take a loss. When you play against like a slower tempo team like Houston, you play against a slower tempo team like Tennessee, that's one thing that I think could give them a little bit of pause. But I do think that if you look on paper, and these games, it's very rightfully so, not playing on paper, Duke is right now looking like the most dominant team in all of college basketball. And I say that as someone that filled out Florida as my national champion with regards to my bracket. So we shall see what happens there, as it is cashing out right here on Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Oops Peterson taking you through. I do have to give you a little bit of a baseball update as well. We'll take a second here, as Will Smith did get jiggy with it. First home run of the season for the LA Dodgers, and you saw Teoscar Hernandez just run into the wall. He had a catch, and the ball completely popped out of his glove for a triple for the Detroit Tigers. That is a 5-2 game here in the seventh inning. So we'll see if the Dodgers are able to remain unbeaten. They've been essentially the Duke of baseball thus far this season, winning those games in the Tokyo series. They got some help yesterday to be able to cover that run line, and I will allude to it once again. If you're looking for a little bit of a baseball betting angle, and we're going to be diving into this much more throughout the night, but the Dodgers, they do not win games by one run very often. They have now won 313 games since the beginning of the 2022 season, all but 54 by multiple runs. That's north of an 81% hit rate in terms of being able to cover that -1.5 run line for you. So do want to just give you guys a little bit of a piece of advice there. But that said, taking a look at this Duke-Alabama game right now, Alabama doing everything humanly possible to put on the full court press, try to be able to just eke out something here. It's 78-63. Duke is going to be going to the free throw line, and if you've got any sort of like totals under, you should be good here, because what you'd absolutely hate is if you are on some sort of an under and for Alabama to get down like 9-10 points with a minute remaining, because you know what that means. The fellas come out. Meanwhile, if Alabama's down 17 points with a minute remaining, logic tells you that they're not going to foul. Now, I've seen a lot of Alabama games this year, and there is some tomfoolery that sometimes happens. Like, if you, like me, have been marred by Alabama unders because they, have a big giant foul-a-thon in a game that is very clearly decided, which has happened way too many times as far as this season. I can't tell you how many times that has happened. That's something that you do leave yourself a little bit vulnerable to, but you should be feeling pretty good right now. Again, should. You've got, if you took the closing total north of 30 points to play with, I know that our good friend Scott Seidenberg, he's on the team total of Duke under. I forget if he got 92.5 or 93.5. Either way, I don't think that Duke should be scoring 12-plus points here in the final minute 45. Unless, if Alabama goes down 10 points with a minute remaining, that's where things get harebrained, things get a little bit crazy. Does not look like that is going to be happening, though, because Alabama, another bunny in the lane, another miss, 90 seconds remaining. It looks like they are showing no signs of fouling whatsoever. And of course, it's Alabama trying for a foul, but they call it a kickball, fortunately. But right now, you're at a minute 26. Duke, they should be able to get the job done. Now it all becomes, what is their next matchup going to be? And that's right now the question that we've got for Florida, too, because something that we were looking at prior to today was whether or not we were going to get four SEC teams into the Final Four. Clearly, that's not going to be happening here, and I did not think that that was going to be the case. I did think that there was a good possibility that all four one seeds were going to be able to get the job done. Did think that we were going to get some covers along the way, and I still do think so. Like, I'm looking at the slate for tomorrow. I do think that now that Houston is -3, they should be able to cover that smaller number, but I do think that these one seeds, in terms of the numbers that they are laying, they just got up a little bit too lofty. I did take both of the underdogs today, got there with Texas Tech. Not going to be getting there with Alabama unless we see something very, very strange, to say the least. And right now with Michigan State, in some places are 5-point underdog, other places are 4.5. As we know, in Michigan State games, jumping on those openers early, very important, because if you laid 2.5 versus 3.5, we all remember what happened in that Ole Miss game. And yeah, you can debate whether or not it was a bad beat or not, but what you can't debate is trying to be able to get the best of the number. Very, very important in that game, whether you're betting Ole Miss, whether you're betting Michigan State, whether you're betting the total. So I always do think that that's very important, and that's something that you do want to be doing, just as a little bit of a aside here as well. These Final Four matchups are going to be getting set tomorrow, and when these Final Four matchups are set, you want to take a look at the opener, and if you see something you like, grab it, because it's probably not going to be up there for much more than 5 to 10 minutes. Like these openers that bookmakers put up, typically they get steamed very, very quickly. Like this Alabama versus Duke game, you're going to get probably a loss in terms of the closing line value. I saw in some places its total open up as low as a 161.5, just got steamed northward. I mean, big time. And again, it's looking like that's not going to get there, but you want to put yourself on the side of being able to get some good value. And we've always got a lot of value here on Cashing Out when we've got a lot of live action, as looks like we're going to have another Final Four matchup set on the flip side right here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Cashing Out right here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network, and this one is about to go final. That's a final 5 seconds, and Duke, they do indeed get the job done. 85-65, they are back in the Final Four for the first time since 2022. You may recall that was a Duke versus North Carolina Final Four. Certainly, we're not going to be seeing any other ACC teams making it into the Final Four, but Duke domination here. And this was a game that in the first half, I mean, it was relatively on pace for the total, because that was a game that at the half, Duke was up 46-37. Alabama just could do nothing here in the second half, and they didn't get the world's worst looks. Like, I feel like if you handicapped Alabama +7.5, and I'm one of the people that I was on Alabama and I was on the under, so I got one right, I got one wrong with regards to me, myself personally, but I feel like you were probably a little bit off. Like, I take a look at my handicap after watching this game, and yeah, I should have valued Duke a little bit more. Certainly, I shouldn't have set my line at Duke -19.5. On a normal shooting day, Alabama shoots a little bit better than 8 of 32 from three-point range. They probably don't miss every single stinking shot about, like, less than 5 feet away from the rim, because they did that. And for Duke, they go 53.5% from the floor. Did cool down a little bit more in the second half, but Duke, they do manage 85-65. They are on to the Final Four. So, I mean, just an absolute expose there, and it's going to be a lot of fun to see what we get moving forward. And how about if we give you guys a baseball update? Tommy Edman goes yard, and it looks like the Dodgers are going to be able to win another game by multiple runs. They're up now 6-3 in the bottom of the seventh inning, so there's that aspect of things. So you've got one dominant team in Duke. You've got another dominant team in the Dodgers. We'll see what happens with regards to their title prospects moving forward. But for Duke, just an absolutely tremendous win for them. And for Duke, now it's going to be the winner of what we're going to be seeing a little bit later on Sunday. That is going to be the Houston versus Tennessee matchup. And how about if we do break down that matchup right now? We're going to be taking a look at it all throughout the night. But that said, with this Houston bunch, right now they are a 3 to 3.5 point favorite against Tennessee. This is going to be in the Midwest Regional for the right to face off against Duke. And the total on this game is going to be 123.5 to 124. And again, I do think that it's very critical. If Houston does get the job done, and I have handicapped a Houston win and cover here. I did set Houston as a 3.5-point favorite. I'm not willing to go a hair above a -3. Like, that is my cutoff point right there. I feel like 3 is actually a big number in this sort of circumstance as well, because when you're down 3 with about 45 seconds remaining, you're not going to foul. You're down 4, you're down 5, you get into the wrong circumstance, it leads to some fouling, what have you, and then you get into the tomfoolery sort of situation. So I do think that that is very important in this sort of a spot. But that said, with regards to Houston, I do think that they do show their might in this game. And this is not necessarily as much of a Houston team as we've seen in the past, where it's just a whole bunch of defense and really no offense. So Houston always is very much predicated on three-point shooting. And I think that that's something that was lost on a lot of people prior to this year. Now, it is also going to be played at Lucas Oil Stadium, about as bad of a shooting backdrop as you could hope for if you're an under-better. But I still do like this total over, because I do think that this game is going to be just close enough for late game fouling. And you do have, for Houston, and this is a big reason why I'm going to be taking the -3 here, you have a pair of guys, LJ Cryer, Emmanuel Sharpe, shooting north of 87% at the free throw line in a pressure spot that is oh so important. And then for Tennessee, obviously you've got the Chaz Lanier, who's able to do a nice job giving you 18 points per contest, shoots it at about a 40% clip from 3-point range. Sakai Ziegler, though he does turn the ball over 3 times per contest, he's able to give out 7.5 assists per game as well. And I do think that that's going to be a big key in this game. Can Houston, who's one of the better teams in all of college basketball, be able to generate some turnovers on Tennessee? It's not like they need to be at their average of like 13 plus turnovers generated per game, but can they get like 11? Can they get 12? I think that that would be absolutely massive for them in this game, because Houston, they are masters of being able to just win the turnover battle. They're one of the best teams at not turning the ball over in all of college basketball as well. They turn the ball over less than 9.5 times per contest. Tennessee, in their own right, they've been pretty rock solid at being able to take care of the ball themselves all season long. And for Tennessee, again, you always think about the offense with this team, but for Rick Barnes and the way that he has really refined his style, it's been very good over the last 2 years, bringing in Dalton Knecht last season, and then for this season, bringing in that alpha dog in Chaz Lanier. It's really prevented a lot of those scoring droughts that we had seen in the past from Tennessee that would cost them the opportunity to be able to get to an Elite Eight, the opportunity to be able to get in a spot where they could conceivably be able to make a Final Four. So credit where it is due. I do think that, though, in the end, Houston, with having Joseph Tugler, Juwan Roberts down low, just going to be a little bit too much in this game. Recognize that that was a nip-and-tuck spot that they were in that game against Purdue, where they needed that just classic out-of-bounds play to be able to get it done. But I do think that Houston, the better team. And for Tennessee, they were able to take it to Kentucky, but again, they are facing a very much jump-shot-oriented Kentucky team out there at Lucas Oil Stadium, where the backdrops are as bad as it gets, and I do feel like that helped them out just a little bit in that spot. So I do think that Houston finds a way. I do think that you get just enough late fouling for the over. So looking at the over, and I am looking at Houston in that spot. And something else that we're taking a look at is all the madness here at VSIN, because the brackets, they are turned in. You, even if you're in like a second chance bracket sort of situation or anything like that, that's already done. But you've got a chance to be able to make a lot of money here on the Final Four, and the Elite Eight games are going to be coming up on Sunday, and we want to turn your tournament heartbreak into success with daily best bets with our VSiN shows and guests, exclusive betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access, and oh, so much more. Plus, you get everything that we've got here for the baseball season as well. Don't let a busted bracket be keeping you from winning. Sign up now over at VSiN.com/subscribe for just $9.99. Let VSiN help you turn the tournament madness into some money. That is VSiN.com/subscribe, as it is cashing out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, and doing this right after Duke gets a job done, win, cover, and under 85-65 over Alabama. And Alabama, I mean, just 29 points in the second half. So very dominant display by Duke once again. They've been able to really be dominant all throughout the tournament. I recognize that, again, you did have Arizona be able to get that cover, but even with Arizona covering that game, Duke was still relatively rock solid in that one. And Don't expect anything different moving forward, but I think that it would be so interesting if we do get that Houston versus Duke matchup, because I think that that's the one that leaves Duke the most vulnerable. Out of all the matchups that you could get here in the NCAA tournament, I do think that Houston might match up the best out of all these teams, because for one, that is a game that would be played out there in the state of Texas, and for two, just the way that Houston is able to slow you down. They always get their opponent to be just out of sorts in general. That's a spot where I probably would be taking a look at Houston, probably in like a pick'em spot. I would be willing to go up against Duke in that spot. Like, that is the one team I'm willing to do it with. I probably wouldn't even do it with Florida, even though I filled out on my bracket. Florida, I think that I would have a little bit of a tough time unless I see a good performance from Florida in the Final Four. They really needed to eke out that win today against Texas Tech. And I mean, credit to Walter Clayton and what he was able to do late in that game, Thomas Haw as well, but they did show some big-time vulnerability in that spot against Texas Tech, albeit Texas Tech was super hot to begin the game from three-point range as things cooled down. That's where Florida was able to really make their bonsai charge towards the back half of the game. But I do think that I do think that this is just a sort of circumstance with Duke that one spot against a Houston team that would be at home, that's really the one bugaboo that you take a look at, and you could see a bunch like Houston being able to take it to them with everything that they've got down low, with having two guys that shoot it so well, and a guy that I haven't talked about, and this is going to be a big X factor, not just for Houston in this game in the Elite Eight, but if they're able to survive and advance into the Final Four, Milou Suzan. The way that Milou Suzan has come on here in the second half of the season has been nothing short of tremendous for this team, because the big thing that you said with Houston coming into the season, how were they going to replace Jamal Shedd? Jamal Shedd was an All-American point guard for them. He was also rock solid. And Uzan last season when he was over at Oklahoma, he was a fine player. And you saw that towards the beginning part of the season. Like when Houston was in non-conference play and when Houston was playing against the teams that they were, you were thinking, all right, he's not quite Jamal Shedd, but he's doing an okay job. He's throwing out the ball. He's playing some good defense. He's doing a lot of things relatively well. Well, you take a look at the last 20 games, and Houston in this run of the last 20 games, by the way, 19-1. You may forget, they actually lost three games in the month of November. Granted, a lot of those were to SEC schools. They lose that game to Alabama. They also lose that game to Auburn, but I mean, they were really able to do a nice job ever since then of being able to turn things around. And Uzan has been the big reason why. In this stretch of the last 20 games, and I'm not kidding when I say this, he is shooting 51.9% from three-point range, logging 14.5 points, 4.1 assists to 1.7 turnovers per game. If that's not efficiency, I don't know what is. He has been such a big X factor and sort of a guy that's able to elevate the team in general. So I do think that that's something that could trip up Duke. I think that that's one matchup that you don't want to see. So if you're Duke, you're probably rooting for Tennessee on Sunday, because I do think that they'd be able to get past Tennessee. Tennessee, I would consider to be a little bit of a, shall we say, light version of Houston. Again, I do have Houston to be able to cover that game. -3 is what I'm willing to lay. Not a half a point more. I'm willing to lay -3, and I'm not willing to go past that, but do think that Houston should be able to get the job done on Sunday, and certainly we'll be taking a little bit more of a look at the NCAA tournament. But final four games for tonight are done. We still have some baseball, though, and Sean Cirillo, he does great work over at Action Network. He's one of their main MLB guys. We'll take a look at what we've got in the first few days of the season and look forward to Sunday with him next, right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out. I'm VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Great to be joined by this man on the Progressive Guest Line as we've got Sean Cirillo aboard. He does great work over at Action Network, taking a look at the great game of baseball. Now that we've got Duke versus Alabama all final, let's take a look at what we've got on the diamond, as it's been an exciting first few days of the season. And Sean, it's always great to get you aboard. Thank you.
Yeah, Greg, thank you for having me in full swing already. First Sunday slate of the year. Not too worried about Sunday lineups coming out with big stars missing, obviously, just a few days into the season. So a little bit easier to bet this Sunday slate than it would typically be for Sunday slates throughout the rest of the year.
Yep, you absolutely do love that. And it's very easy to know the bullpen situation as well. Just a few days into the season, you're not worried about, oh, are they going to give like extended rest here or anything like that? Because these guys are relatively rested. You just have to take a look at what has happened the first few days of the season. So makes it a little bit easier there. But something that we both have been picking up on, Sean, and I want to dive in on this to start out with, is just the amount of overs that we've been seeing to begin the season, as it's been very overwhelming. And you were talking to me about this a little bit off air, the fact that a lot of it has been coming late. So just dive in on what you've noticed here in the first few days of the season with such a high over rate.
Yeah, I can't hold a lead in any game late where I have an under. It's been excruciating to watch. I have an under 7.5 right now in this Mariners A's game, fully expecting that to implode, whether it goes to extra innings or otherwise. It just seems like these relievers are coming in. They can't hold leads. It does seem like the ball is flying a little bit further than it has in the past. Still a very limited sample. The drag coefficient data on MLB.com or on Baseball Savant would not indicate that the ball has changed. But anecdotally, watching all these games, having watched this sport every single day of the regular season, postseason, etc., for the past 6 years publicly, more time even before that, my spidey senses are up early. Something in my gut is telling me this ball is flying just a little bit further than it was previously. Every time the Dodgers or the Yankees make hard contact on the baseball, square it up, it's flying out of the park. Mookie Betts hit two home runs yesterday, both 96 miles an hour off the bat. They were both no doubt home runs. So everybody's exit velocity is up, and the balls, you know, even on balls that aren't fully squared up, you know, that 105 miles an hour plus, they're still flying out of the park. Anthony Volpe, one of the Yankees record setting 9 home runs today, I believe his home run was like 93 off the bat. So the ball does seem to be jumping a little bit.
Yeah, it's been very interesting to look at because, I mean, Aaron Judge had 3 home runs in the first 5 innings alone here on this Saturday. And Aaron Judge, very, very good hitter. Typically, you don't get 3 home runs in the first 5 innings from one individual. So it's been fascinating, to say the least. And we have been noticing with regards to bullpens, they have been a little bit less trustworthy. And is that something that you're going to be looking at a little bit more here moving forward? Because I've been noticing the same thing that you have. First 5 innings, things seem to be going relatively good. And it feels like everyone's bullpen right now is letting them down. Even the Cleveland Guardians have been having some issues with regards to bullpen. And I think that that's something that very much, even though it's a small sample size, needs to be factored in right away, in my opinion.
The Guardians and the Brewers, in my opinion, were both going to take a step back in terms of bullpen quality this year just because of how many innings those teams threw last season. They still don't really have the starting pitching depth to be able to give those guys a break. So I was down on the Guardians bullpen coming into the year, down on the Brewers too. You know, those were two of the top 3 bullpens last year. I had them both closer to 10th coming into the season. Overall, it's tough to say like what's different. It's just kind of early and maybe these guys aren't fully locked in, but at this point, I'm accustomed to having a 1 or 2 run cushion with 3 or 4 innings to play and actually feeling like that bet still has a chance to cash. Now, when you get to, you have an under 8.5, it's at 6 runs in the 6th inning. You're like, this is almost certainly going over, especially when they're playing at Dodger Stadium. So yeah, I don't know. It's tough to watch. I prefer betting unders to overs. I tend to end up overweight, more on unders than overs throughout the season, probably like 60-40 unders to overs. And just right now can't cash them. And it's just a little frustrating to watch because it's, it changes every year. And it's this thing that we constantly have to keep up with. And it'd just be a little annoying if they changed the baseballs again and didn't mention that they were thinking about doing it.
Yep, and where have we seen that before with Major League Baseball? That would be unlike them whatsoever. And I obviously say that.
5 and 6 years.
Yep, absolutely. I say that very, very jokingly. Sean Zarrell, he does great work over at Action Network, joining me on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network. And if you are looking to bet some baseball, make sure you get the best odds over at PROFITX. They're available in 40-plus states. It's the first ever peer-to-peer sports betting exchange out there in the United States. That means that you're getting the best odds and you're able to bet against other fans. You typically get 10 to 20% better odds than at a normal sports book. Download PROFITX today and utilize the promo code of VSIN when you do. And how about if we do dive in on some of these games that we've got for Sunday? Is you've got a lot of plays that I like as well, because you mentioned it with the Yankees. Historic 20-run day on Saturday. I think that's going to be a little bit colder on Sunday with it being Aaron Civale, Marcus Stroman going in that one. Take me through this one with the Yankees right now, mid-sized favorite in that total of an 8.5.
Yeah, I'm in New York. It was absolutely beautiful weather here today. It actually is the kind of weather that makes you want to keep on going and live it another day. It was absolutely gorgeous, take the dogs out, etc. But it was in the 70s, right? And the wind was blowing out here at Yankee Stadium on Saturday. On Sunday, it's going to be 54 degrees at first pitch, wind blowing in 67 miles an hour. So a 20 degree difference, maybe even more than that, but about a 20 degree difference, and the wind flipping the other direction, going to completely change the run scoring environment for this matchup. Also a really good under umpire on Sunday as well. Ryan Blakeney is worth about a 4% downgrade to my overall run scoring environment, which is pretty strong in terms of umpire adjustments. Now, I bet the under for these two teams on opening day. I really like the defensive quality of both of these teams. The Brewers were a top three defense last year by both defensive runs saved and outs above average. The Yankees were a top 10 to top 12 defense, but they made a number of changes that basically shored up multiple positions on the field, because you had Judge as a negative defender in center. You had Soto as a negative defender in right. Gleyber Torres was one of the worst defensive second basemen in baseball. Now you moved a bunch of pieces around. You moved Judge to right. Bellinger is a scratch center fielder. Jazz is an above average second baseman. And now Oswaldo Peraza is a plus defensive third baseman. So the Yankees should be a top eight, top five defensive team when it all plays out at the end of the year in terms of defensive runs saved, outs above average. And Milwaukee remains one of my favorite defensive teams too. So even with Marcus Stroman starting here, obviously a lot of potential for balls to get put in play. I think the Yankees defense can rob some of those, suppress some hits. The Brewers can do the same, and you should have the high leverage relievers for both teams ready to go after you had the blowout game today where you had a lot of back end guys eating up innings at the end. So I projected this total closer to eight. I like the under down, actually projected this closer to 7.5. I like the under eight down to -108. 8.5's out there right now would gobble it up.
Yep, right now we're seeing mostly an 8.5, and we're actually seeing the Yankees pitchers covering first base as well. There are many people that are very much hopeful that that continues moving forward, and this is one that I think is going to be a fun one. We've got Jacob deGrom actually pitching in the first week of the season for the first time in quite a while, going up against the Boston Red Sox, and the Rangers are right around about -170, -175 or so favorites, total of 8.5, with Richard Fitz going on the flip side for the Boston Red Sox, and I'm not sure what you think of Mr. Fitz, but I liked what I saw from him towards back half of the season last year, had a good spring training, and I think that he's going to be able to do a good job and perhaps help out with an under.
Under 8.5 here, absolutely for me. The Dome should be closed in Arlington tomorrow. Just double check that. But 50 degrees-ish in the forecast and rain in the forecast too. I can't imagine any chance that that roof is open on Sunday. So that downgrades the total. Good pitching umpire as well, and Nestor Ceja as well behind the dish. So that downgrades me a little bit too. I made this total around 7.6. I'd bet under 8 down to -106. And I agree with you, Greg. I like Richard Fitz. I like in general what the Red Sox do in terms of their pitching development, their player development overall. This team is really advanced in terms of adding bat speed to their hitters, the hitters that they've drafted. They have the number one farm system in baseball. But last year you saw organizationally, they kind of changed their pitching approach completely. They scrapped four-seam fastballs. They started going cutter and sinker heavy with a lot of their guys, and it generally works. So they're going to move a guy like Richard Fitz, who I liked as a reliever, into the rotation and try to stretch him out. He got up to 70 pitches in spring training. I'm pretty confident if they're going to make that move that it's going to be successful, or at least if they're going to let him start the third game of the season, that they're pretty comfortable with where he's at in terms of effectiveness. So DeGrom in a league of his own, in terms of strikeout minus walk rate among starting pitchers, he ranks like with the elite end relievers in terms of his strikeout minus walk rate, just absolutely phenomenal when he actually pitches, incredibly efficient. You know, bringing up Fitz is kind of important because he is the unknown with regards to this total. And these are my two favorite teams in the American League. This is my ALCS. I think the series has been super entertaining, super competitive, and really looking forward to a fourth game between these two teams tomorrow, and DeGrom getting his first start of the year, because I think he could end up facing the Red Sox in the playoffs when, if he's able to survive the season, you know, which is obviously a huge if. But yeah, these are my two favorite teams in the American League and the teams I would peg for the ALCS right now.
Absolutely, and something that I'll always bring up as well, Alex Bregman, a notoriously slow starter as well. So if you're looking at the Boston Red Sox, I think that you're going to have some value on unders early in the season. Later on, when he gets all warmed up, typically that's when the ball starts flying out for him, and I do think that the Red Sox in general might be worth a little bit more of a look at the over in the second half of the season, and I know that you are doing a great job.
Can I jump in real quick, Greg? The Red Sox finish up a road trip. They go to Baltimore after they're in Texas. Next Friday, they come home for the Cardinals. They have a nice little homestand. And then they play the White Sox for six games in a matter of like a 2 week stretch. So if you're interested in betting the Red Sox, I think next Friday before that homestand might be the best time to bet them. From a futures perspective, that schedule really lightens up at the end of April.
I love it. And Sean does a great job at Action Network. Always great to talk some baseball with him. And coming up next, let's take a look at what we're getting in the Elite Eight game for Sunday on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It was great to be joined by Sean Zerillo, who does great work over at Action Network. Join me in the last segment, taking a look at the great game of baseball. And we'll dive into some college basketball here in a second. Take a look at that Elite Eight game that we're going to be seeing involving Auburn. But I was talking about this a little bit off air. So we'll bring a little bit of an off air conversation on air. And I'll only spend like 30 seconds on this because you probably don't want too much on this. But is it just me or are score bugs nowadays getting worse and worse and worse? Like, a lot of people were ranting about it during the Super Bowl, and I very much was so. And right now I'm sweating out a bet between the A's and the Seattle Mariners. I am hoping that we can get a little bit of an over there, and that's one that I'm currently sweating out. That is a score of 4-2 right now in the top of the seventh inning, and I took an over 7 personally. So we are hoping and praying that that one's able to get in, but I was seeing their score bug, and man, like the different colors, no logos whatsoever. Like, what are we doing? Felt like they had it like perfect 5-6 years ago, and now they're trying to reinvent the wheel. And that's something that you don't want to be doing in life, in sports betting, what have you. Don't try to reinvent the wheel. You don't need to get fancy. You just need to find a way to get the job done. And right now they are trying too hard to get the job done that was already done, and now they're not getting the job done. So not great, to say the least. But what is tremendous is the fact that we've got ourselves some Elite Eight action, and we have got ourselves a lot to dive in on here with regards to Auburn being the favorite in this spot. And I do think that this is going to be a very, very fascinating matchup, to say the least. As for Auburn right now, you're going to be laying with them in the neighborhood about 4.5 points. Still seeing quite a few fives out there. Total on this game is 148. And personally, I was able to get an overnight plus 5.5 with Michigan State. I'd be willing to take 5 and not a half a point less. I set my handicap at a minus 4.5 with Michigan State. I do think that they're going to do a good job of staying within this game because they do such a good job with regards to their defense. This is a bunch that is number one in the country in opponents' three-point shooting percentage. And what has really stood out to me about this run that Auburn has made in the NCAA tournament, and really over the last month and a half, ever since I would say the middle of SEC play, Auburn has become a little bit more of a defense-oriented team. Still a top-five team in terms of points scored on a per-possession basis. Still a solid offense. Like, they put up 78 points in that game against Michigan, but, I mean, this team has really been able to step up to the plate a little bit more defensively. We saw that in the second half against Creighton, and this is a squad that if you go back to the back half of the SEC season in those games that didn't involve Alabama, because Alabama, man, they are just an absolute wagon with regards to their offense, and they will let you score 80 points, but they'll try to score 90 themselves. But they've given up 70 points or fewer in each of their last five games. So they've been slowing things down a little bit more. Michigan State, not necessarily a team that's going to bump up the tempo. And for Michigan State, the three-point shooting is a big concern for them. They only shoot about 31% from the outside, but Jace Richardson has really been the X factor for them. He's been shooting north of 40% from three-point range all season long. Many people think that he's going to be a lottery pick, and I do not disagree there. He's been logging for the team 15-plus points, and now 6 out of the last 7 games, he's the big reason why Michigan State is in this spot right now. But what Michigan State has is a holes greater than some of its parts approach on the glass. I think it's going to be able to help them do a good job down low against UNI Broome, because Broome is cleaning up 18.5 points, 10.8 boards, 2 blocks. If he needs to, he's able to pop it from 3, obviously. Not necessarily the forte of his game, but he's got the ability to be able to do so. But with Michigan State having Jackson Kaler, Simon Zapala, all those guys down low, I do think that they're going to be able to do a solid job being able to match up down low. And I do think that that is going to be such an important factor in this game, with having so many guys that are able to do a good job there, because the forgotten man for this Auburn team is actually Dylan Cardwell. Cardwell, he sees about 20 minutes per game. Not like he's some sort of an explosive scorer or anything like that. He gives you about 5 points, 5 boards per contest, but he's able to do a nice job being able to D up down low. Michigan State is able to match up there, not allow for a lot of second and third chances for this Auburn team. So I do think that the game gets slowed down a little bit more, and for Michigan State. What they can also do is take away the explosive offense of Auburn, because Auburn, with regards to their guard play, it is just so team-oriented. That's, I think, the best way of being able to put it, because you've got four separate guys: Todd Pettiford, Miles Kelly, Denver Jones, Chad Baker-Mazzaro. All four of these guys between 11 and 12.3 points per contest. All four of these guys shoot at least 37.5% from three-point, and they all shoot at least 80% of the free-throw line as well. And as a matter of fact, three out of the four shoot at least 88.5% at the free-throw line, and that could be something that looms very, very large in the back half of this game, as both of these teams are quite good at the free-throw line. But I do think that for Michigan State, they do find a way to hold in there, and a guy that you just don't want to bet against in March, in my opinion, is Tom Izzo. Now, I do recognize that our good friend and Mr. Bruce Pearl, he's been able to get the job done quite a bit in March as well. He made a Final Four with Auburn back in 2019. Ivo Chuma Okeke dealt with that injury, and who knows, if Okeke doesn't get hurt, perhaps they win that game against Virginia. And many people are still a little bit salty about that one because of the, shall we say, lack of refereeing in regards to that Final Four game, but that's a discussion for a different show on a different day. But that said, I do take a look at this Auburn bunch. I do think that they make the Final Four. I do think that this game is going to be tight. I do think that you get a relatively good defensive expose here. I did set my total at a 146.5, so getting about a 148 in a lot of spots. I'm going to be willing to take a shot on the under, and I'm going to be willing to take those points as well with Michigan State right here on Cash It Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network. And additionally, if you're looking to come out to lovely Las Vegas, because I know that the Crown Invitational is coming up here, and for those that listen to my podcast, Cuz Heaps, I'll be breaking down all those games as well. They're happening out here in lovely Las Vegas. I know that owner Derek Stevens, he's been very, very open to having folks come out here to lovely Las Vegas, have some fun for the Crown event, and he is fully embracing it. You're able to get 15% off of all three of his properties. That would be the Circa, that would be the Circa Resort, the D, along with Golden Gate. I've been to all three. All three are absolutely tremendous. If you go to CircaLasVegas.com, utilize the promo code of VSIM15. That is VSIM15. You're able to save 15% off of room rates at all three of those wonderful places. So go to CircaLasVegas.com, promo code VSIN15, and certainly looking forward to the Crown event that's going to be coming up next week. But what I'm looking forward to a little bit more is this game between Michigan State versus Auburn. That's going to determine who's going to be facing off against Florida in the Final Four. And personally, even with what we saw out of Florida today, and it was a little bit less than savory, not going to lie, when you're down 9 points with less than 3 minutes to go, that's not necessarily where you want to be. I still will be setting Florida as a favorite against either of those teams. Keep in mind, if they do play against Auburn, they were able to go on the road. They took down Auburn on the road a little bit earlier on in the season. Now, with Michigan State, I just think that they're going to be able to outgun them a little bit as well, because with this Michigan State squad, I mentioned the good team-oriented rebounding. I would say Florida's just a little bit better with Alex Condon along with Micah Hanlogden. Him burning that red shirt has led to Florida being a little bit more defense-oriented. He doesn't have quite the versatility, what have you, of someone like an Alex Condon, Thomas Ha, what have you, but he does a really good job of just being able to defend the post. I think that that is going to be massive for them. And then we saw what Walter Clayton was able to do with that nice turnaround shot with about a minute remaining as well. He's going to be the best overall shot maker out there on the floor. I do think that that is so big. So I would be setting Florida as a favorite in either of those spots, and I would have them advancing to the national title, and think that that's going to be a lot of fun to be able to dive in on as well. So we've got a lot to be going on there. By the way, to go back to the Crown event as well, you are able to bet the openers right now if you're looking for that, because that is going to be a tournament that starts up on Monday. I know that a lot of people are focusing on the Final Four, but some of the bigger edges that you're going to get are on the smaller tournaments. And don't let anyone tell you, oh, it's a loser's tournament or anything like that. Guess what? There's nothing that's loser mentality about winning bets. I don't care if it's on the Final Four. I don't care if it's in the first round of the NCAA tournament. I don't care if it's the NIT, the Crown event. Your best edges are typically going to be coming on the smaller games. Like, the larger the limits that these bookmakers have, typically the smaller your edge is going to be. The smaller the limits, probably the better it's going to be. There's a big reason why. With regards to some of the best bets that you can make, many of them are on like the NFL draft. Many of them are on like insert your favorite mid-major basketball school here in the month of January. Those are some of the best bets that you're able to make all year long. So I do think that that is very important to be pointing out, but certainly I do think that we've got ourselves a lot of fun there, and I do think that it's very interesting to see what we're getting on the baseball card as well. We're going to be hitting upon a lot of this in hour number two as well, but do want to give you guys a little bit of a taste here because we do still have one game that's still in action. The A's currently up on the Seattle Mariners 4-2. That game is in the bottom of the seventh inning, and if you're taking a little bit more of a look forward to what we're going to be getting on Sunday, the Seattle Mariners currently a minus 158 to a minus 166 favorite against Oakland and a total of 7. And I do want to promote this a little bit. I do the baseball betting show here at VSiN as well. That comes out midnight Pacific, 3 o'clock a.m. Eastern. I actually talked to the pre- and post-game host Curtis Rogers about the ballpark dimensions of Seattle, and I do want to point this out. If you're looking to bet Seattle Mariners totals this season with regards to home games, keep in mind this. This is a very interesting article that came out a few months ago because we have noticed that there have been a lot of unders that have been played in Seattle. We have noticed a lot of lower scoring games. If you take a look at the 2024 data with regards to Seattle Mariners, T-Mobile Field, it actually suppressed offense more in T-Mobile Park than Coors Field was able to help elevate offense in terms of the Colorado Rockies home game. So that should really tell you something, that it is able to suppress offense more than Coors Field elevates offense. So that's something that I'll be diving in on a little bit later on, but something else that we have to dive in on, more college basketball, because you got half the Final Four set. Mike Calabrese, he does a tremendous job looking at college basketball. Joins me next on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.